Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right. Hey, can we thank our worship team for leading us again? Thank you guys. So that second song that they did, I don't know if you guys can hear me. So that second song that they did, that You're Beautiful, like that, for me, like I realized that like Phil Wickham has got a bunch of like popular songs right now. That's like old Phil Wickham. I'm not even sure if you guys even knew that. So before, you know, songs like, you know, There's Joy in the House of the Lord, like that, before that stuff, like Phil Wickham was doing that. And if you really want to do deep dive on Phil Wickham, go listen to the live album that's just called Sing Along, and it's just him and his guitar and a bunch of people that are like singing like that song and singing a bunch of like old hymns and stuff. It's killer, like top five like Christian worship live record probably ever made, in my opinion. So there you go, for what that's worth. All right, let's do it. Let's get this out of the way here. So shout out Metamora, Illinois. Shout out Maple Ridge 2, Scarlett Sutton Ryland, Juddy 1, Juddy 3B, Juddy 4B. I had a shout out for, was it Ewan? Was that right? Did I get that? I had a shout out for Bo. Is that right? And this one also, for being nostalgic this morning, this place also has a close spot in my heart. Bloomington, Illinois. Yeah. So right after Amy and I got married, we moved to Lincoln, Illinois, which is about 20, 25 minutes south of Bloomington. But we hung out in Bloomington, Illinois all the time. The church that we attended was in Bloomington. So we spent a lot of our weekends just hanging out in Bloomington, Illinois. So Bloomington, Illinois has got a special spot. Home of State Farm Insurance. So Jake from State Farm, there you go. Bloomington, Illinois. All righty. Hey, let's recap. We are up to eight words here. Now this evening we'll be in the outdoor chapel, and that's always a fun one, but here's the thing, we won't have any of this, we won't have our screens and stuff, so I'll try to make sure I talk through if you need something, you know, for some reason I need to spell something or whatever, we'll try to make sure that if you've been writing stuff down this week, I want to make sure that you get what you need, but I'm looking forward to that one as well. But let's do a little bit of recap. Let's try to move through this. All right, so we started out way back on Sunday night. We started out with joy. Then we went to motivation. Then we went to, you guys are still bringing it. Then we talked about humility. Then we talked about perseverance. Then we talked about being selfless. Then we talked about the goat. Then, let's see, then we talked about keep going, and then last night we had imitate. All right, you guys are crushing it this week. So, a few verses this morning, chapter 4, we're almost done. Like, this evening, we'll wrap up Philippians, and then you guys will all be experts on the book of Philippians. Take back and share what you learned with other people. Okay. Verses 2 through 9. Now, I appeal to, got two more names here for you. Again, years from now, you find out that you're having a baby girl, I promise you, you won't have to fight anybody for either one of these names. Promise you. Okay, here we go. Euodia and Syntyche. That's how you pronounce these names. Oh, what a lovely baby. What's her name? Syntyche. Okay. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement And I ask you, my true partner, so he's talking to the church, the rest of the church there, and I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news. They worked along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Side note, when Jesus left the earth, the people that lived back then that were following Jesus, they thought he was going to come back within like a few years. So when Paul says, the Lord is coming soon, we're reading this 2,000 years later, we're just like, nah, we're still waiting. So, but that was kind of the mindset back then. They're like, Jesus is just going away for a little bit and then he's going to be back. But here we are 2,000 years later and we're still expecting Jesus to return at any time. That's kind of where our attitude is. Now, verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, the God of peace will be with you. There's all kinds of places we could go with this. This is where we get that well-known verse, Philippians 4:4. A lot of translations will say, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. That was, when I was your all's age or even younger, that was like a song. Does anybody still sing that song? Do you guys know that song? That's how old I am. So that we didn't have like the cool songs you guys have, and I'm not dissing on the song. I'm just saying it's changed a lot in 30 to 40 years, but we used to have a song that was rejoice in the Lord always and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Like, and it would just kind of go on and on and on and on because it was kind of sung around like row, row, row your boat, and so it would just kind of keep going and going. But that's where this came from. That's in this passage here. We also have this passage where Paul instructs us not to worry or be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. These are both two good things to remember. These are both good things to remember. But I saw two things as I was reading through this a couple months ago, kind of getting prepared for this week. I saw two things that stood out, and we can use the same phrase for both, even though these are completely different situations. So it takes us to question one, which is always, all right, here's our what for this morning. Our what is fix it. Fix it. All caps, exclamation point, fix it. Anybody notice back there in that first verse that Paul is making this appeal to these two women? And again, their names are Euodia and Syntyche. And there must have been some sort of beef between them. There was something going on between these two women in the church. And most likely, Paul found out about this while he was in jail. Whatever it was, he found out about it, most likely. Now, I can't prove this, but this is usually how these things worked when we would get these kinds of letters in the New Testament. Paul probably found out about what's going on between these two from our guy Epaphroditus. So, oh, and by the way, shout out to whoever was running through the list of Bible names and threw in Epaphroditus there. Like, good on you. Way to throw in a fresh name for this week. So he probably found out from Epaphroditus when he showed up with this gift, this like gift basket or this monetary gift that Paul could use while he was in jail to like feed himself and care for himself. If somebody, usually in those days, if someone was visiting, if somebody from a church was visiting Paul either in jail or some other place and either delivering a letter to them or something else, Paul would usually he would take time to kind of get the scoop on what's going on at that church. We see this in some of his other letters. most notably in the letter of 1 Corinthians. It all kind of gets started out. He goes, hey, some people from Chloe's household sent word to me that there's some stuff going on. So that's usually when Paul would address or talk about stuff. Paul had been away from this church long enough that he probably wasn't around when this whole beef between Euodia and Syntyche got started. So Paul'd get a report, and then Paul would respond. Sometimes he would respond graciously, and sometimes he'd respond pretty firmly. And so Euodia and Syntyche are beefing right now. Hey, Epaphroditus, what's going on at church? Well, there's some stuff going on. We got some people who are teaching about Jesus for the right reasons, and we got some people who are teaching about Jesus for the wrong reasons, and it's really messing with some people. And Euodia and Syntyche have got something going on. We don't know what the deal is, but there's a beef between these two. And so Paul addresses that. You remember yesterday when I said getting a letter like this, it was usually read out loud to the entire church because not everybody could read back then, and to have your own copy of something was expensive. And so when they would write these letters to Paul, they would write it on anything from just like a scrap of like what we would commonly call like papyrus. Sometimes they would write it on like the back of like a broken piece of pottery, because people just didn't have the resources to do these things. And when it would show up, whoever would show up, they would read this letter out loud to everybody, so everybody's listening in. And these churches were not big. If you belong to, Miracle Camp belongs to the FEC, the Fellowship of Evangelical Churches, and we have several large churches within FEC. Some of these churches, 400, 500, 600, some churches are over 1,000. This church in Philippi, like most churches during that time, maybe 30 people, maybe 40. Because they would typically meet in people's homes, and people didn't have gigantic houses like people now have. So they were jamming a lot of people into a small space there. So there wasn't a ton of people in this church. Can you imagine being either Euodia or Syntyche sitting there the morning this letter shows up, and they're like, we've got a letter from Paul in prison. And everybody's just like, hooray! Not because he's in jail, but because we're hearing from him. And Paul's going through all this stuff, and everybody's like, that's right on. We should absolutely live like this. We should live like citizens of the kingdom. Euodia and Syntyche are probably sitting there like, yes, we should be like that. We shouldn't be like this other stuff. And then can you imagine them sitting there in this church, and I'm sure that they came into church the morning that this was being read, and they saw each other, and they maybe gave each other the side eye on the way in, and Euodia sat over here, and Syntyche sat way over on the other side to make sure they're not next to each other, because there's something going on between them. And then for the reader, whoever that might have been, for the reader of this letter to call them out, because probably where you go to church, you don't know everybody, but in this church, everybody knows everybody. And so for Paul to call these two out by name and say, hey, I plead with Euodia and Syntyche, and they're just like, oh boy, here we go, to settle your disagreement. Tell them to squash their beef and end their disagreement. That had to have been an interesting service that day when that letter got read. So let's think of this first fix it like we would typically think of fix it, meaning to repair something. Some of you all probably have somebody in your house, maybe that's a dad, if it's stepdad or somebody, like there's somebody in your house who's really good at fixing things. Maybe that's grandpa. Maybe you got to call grandpa in to fix something. Something's broken in the house. So we think of fix it that way, as how we would repair something. And that's where we're going to spend this first half there. There's something, when we talk about fixing it here, there's something broken in a relationship and it needs repaired. When we've been talking about the good news all week, the good news of Jesus is a good news of repairing something that was broken. The story of the Bible is talking about how something was created perfectly, and then that perfection got broken by our own bad choices, and then for a long period of time, people just kept making bad choices, and then Jesus shows up to live perfectly and to die to reverse the curse of our bad choices. So Jesus' life here on earth is very much a fix-it situation because he came to fix it, to repair a busted relationship that we had between us and God the Father. That's why, if you're familiar, in the Gospels, in a couple of different places, Jesus gets asked by people who were really well-trained and knew a lot of the law of Moses in the Old Testament, and they said, hey, what's the greatest commandment? And they're probably expecting Jesus to say, well, you know, one of the ten, like the ten laws that that Moses got on top of the mountain. They're expecting Jesus to say one of those, that Jesus is going to say, oh, you can't worship any idols. Should probably honor your mother and your father. That's probably... Don't kill anybody. Don't covet somebody else's stuff. Don't bear a false witness about... They're expecting one of these answers. And if you know, Jesus responds, the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Then he doesn't stop there. He doesn't give them a chance to say, hey, thanks, that's not what we were expecting this morning. The second thing he says is the second commandment. We didn't ask for a second one, Jesus. The second commandment is just as important, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. So, when Jesus says the most important commandments are to love God with everything you have and to love others the same way that you love yourself, those are connected. This is part of fixing stuff that's broken. And Jesus is saying these two are related. It's almost like they're sides of the same coin. Meaning, you can't have the right relationship with God without having the right relationship with other people. And the opposite is true either. Don't claim to have the right relationship with people if you don't have the right relationship with God. Because the good news of Jesus is one that fixes broken relationships or busted relationships. Now, what we don't have is the privilege of knowing if Syntyche and Euodia actually work stuff out. We don't know. We just know that Paul is just like, y'all need to fix this. Y'all need to get this figured out. And we don't have the privilege of knowing if they figured out, but Paul called them to fix it. That's the first fix it. We'll come back to it in a minute here. Here's the second fix it that we see. And we actually see Paul using the word fix in that. In verse 8, if you still have your Bible open, verse 8, look at what he says. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. And he goes into this list. He tells us to fix our minds on the following things. The stuff that's true, the stuff that's honorable, the stuff that's right, pure, lovely, things that are excellent, things that are worthy of praise. So, if the first fix-it is this idea of repairing something, which is usually how we'll say something needs fixed, think of this fixed as saying, be focused on something. To fix your mind on something is to be focused. In English, we would sometimes use the phrase, this person is fixated on something. Have you heard that before? He's fixated on it. You all can be fixated on things and not know that you're fixated on it. Whatever like the latest thing is, I joked earlier in the week, if you don't know who Jimothy is, you're going to know by the ride home. You'll know who Jimothy is by the time you pull into your driveway. Fortunately, I had to drive into Schoolcraft late last night to get ice cream because we both wanted ice cream and they were still open. So went in to do that, and there was a raccoon that shot out in front of our car, and we did not hit it, and it was not Jimothy. So I'm happy to report that both of those. So we can get right now. The internet is fixated on Jimothy. They got a one-track mind, and it's all about Jimothy. So we can be fixated on something. You could be fixated on a particular video game right now. You could be fixated on a particular like band or singer. You could be fixated on a sport right now. You could be fixated on a certain type of candy or food. Some of y'all this week have been fixated on Chipwiches, or you've been fixated on a certain kind of candy that you can get down at the store. So we can be fixated on stuff. Our minds can be fixed on that. Our minds can be, another way, if I say our minds are locked in on things. Think of it that way. Paul gives us this list of things for us to fix our minds on, for have our minds locked in on. And these, if you think about it, these are attributes that we can also apply to Jesus. That Jesus is true, that Jesus is honorable, Jesus is right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. Paul, again, is trying to get our minds to think more in a different realm than just what's going on in the here and now. Just like yesterday, he's like, these people that are just living for right now, man, it's not going to end well for them. But if we're citizens of God's kingdom, we got to think outside of just our own little space here. So we got two kinds of fix-its, which takes us to question two. So what? So what? This is what. So what? This is what. We need to fix, meaning repair, and we also need to fix, meaning to lock in on something or to focus our minds on something. We need to fix, as in repair, and we need to fix to lock in. Here we go again. Sound like we're repeating some stuff that we've talked about earlier this week. But again, I'm willing to guess some of you left home or left your town to come here, and you left a busted relationship somewhere, whether that's within the same house or whether that's within the same neighborhood or that's within the same school. You left a relationship that needs to be fixed back in your hometown. Some sort of beef. You've got a euodiacenticy situation in your life, and it needs to be fixed. Guess what? This morning, this is me being Paul, calling you out to settle whatever disagreement you have with that other person. This is important because this is doing the good news. This is the good news that Jesus talks about, and the good news is about fixing things. The good news is about restoration. You heard that word before? To restore something, to make things the way that it used to be, to make things right. That's what we're being called to do. And Paul mentions this in another part of the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians, and he tells us that Jesus has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Meaning it's kind of our job to reconcile relationships, both between us and other people and between us and God. I think of when my son Ryan was your all's age, and that was like during the COVID years, which was weird. And so Ryan, I don't know how he stumbled onto this, but he would sit and watch these videos on YouTube of guys who would find old gaming systems that were... They look like they'd just gotten taken out of the garbage or like a house fire or something like that. And these guys would just like methodically go through and restore this thing, clean it up. They'd put it in this like solution to clean it up, and they'd get in there and they'd clean all the guts out, and they would get this thing, and they would fully restore like, you know, like an old N64 or like an old PlayStation or something along those lines, and then make it playable again. That's restoration. That's kind of what we're talking about. We've got relationships that are all kind of busted and beaten up and look like they've been in a house fire or sitting in the garbage for a long time. And what Jesus is calling us to do is to take that relationship and restore it to working order. Now, here's where I think people miss what Jesus is calling us to do. When we restore a relationship, don't feel like it's like we have to go back to like nothing ever happened. No, it still happened, but we're learning to coexist and we're learning to want the best for other people. So there's a difference. It doesn't have to be like, you don't have to go back to being besties, all right? I just want to make sure you hear me say that. You don't have to go back to being besties, but what you do have to do is get in a place where you want God's best for this other person, even if you don't hang out as much as you used to. If you've restored that relationship, then you can see that person and say, you know what, it's not like it used to be, but I still want God's best for that person. That's what restoring a relationship is like. So it's not like, ah, it's all water under the bridge. And now some of those can work like that, but don't think that, oh, you have to go back to the way everything was. It's just that you guys can exist and you want the best for the other person. Instead of just like, I hope you flunk all of your tests today. I hope you stub your toe tomorrow morning when you get up in your barefoot and you're trying to walk to the sink to get a glass of water. And you stub your toe on a chair. I hope your cat gets mad and scratches you. That's what we're talking about. We want God's best for this other person. All right, let's keep going. This is what sets us apart from following Jesus, is we're the ones. Here's the deal, y'all. Nowhere in the Bible is Jesus going to give you a pass based on how you've been treated. Meaning, this is how the Bible works, and I'm sorry, I'm just the messenger. If you are the one who created the situation, guess what Jesus says? You go to that person and you fix it. If you're not the person who created the situation, guess what Jesus says? You go to that person and you fix the situation. We do not get a free pass on that. So we either, if I'm the one who offended somebody else or if I'm the one who's being offended, Jesus says it's still on you to go to that person. If you're going to be one of my followers, it's on you to go to that person and make that right. So we can't take this posture when we want to fix a relationship. We can't take the posture where we say, she knows what she did. I'll talk to her when she apologizes to me. Look, I trusted him with that, and he told everybody about that. We'll talk about that later this evening, about what it means to keep a secret. I told him something in confidence, and he told everybody at the lunch table the next day. He should come to me and apologize. That's not living in God's kingdom. Either way, it's on us to go and make that right. You guys with me? I'm not saying it's easy. If it was easy, we'd already be doing it. But that's what Jesus is calling us to. We're commanded to repair it. And that's doing the good work of Jesus. If you've got a busted relationship somewhere, fix it. Let's talk about the other fix it before we wrap up here. Fixing our minds on the right stuff. You guys all know how to focus. I'm sure you're like, you don't know me. In some situations you can focus. I'm sure you can. Think about that list of things Paul wants us to fix our minds on. How many of those things do you regularly think about? What's true, what's lovely, what's right, what's excellent, things that are worthy of praise. I'm not great at that, I'll be honest. And here's the deal. You don't have to think about all of these at once. There's a list of 8 of them. Take one a day, and you're going to get an entire week of thinking about the things that Paul wants us to fix our minds on. Those things that are really mattering in God's kingdom. Fix it. Fix your mind on those things. Think about those things that Paul talked about. So that brings us to question 3, which is always, now what? This is the first time I'm going to give you 2 different questions to think about because they relate to 2 different things. So here's one question that you can ask Jesus in your prayer time, in your spare time here today. Jesus, is there, you may not even realize it, Jesus, is there a relationship that I need to fix, meaning to repair? Is there a relationship that I need to fix, to repair? We talked about that sibling that you just had to get away from to get up here to camp. Maybe you need to fix that relationship. You're like, you don't know my brother. No, but I know what it's like to be a younger brother. And I know what it's like to have an older sister and not to always be in the best relationship with that older sister. I know what that's like. So, is there a relationship I need to repair? And then the second question, Jesus, where do I need to fix, meaning to lock in my mind? Where are the things that Jesus is calling you to fix your mind on? Those are two different questions to ask Jesus during your quiet time, during your prayer time, during your devotional time. And listen to what he might share, what he might lay on your heart. All right, I'm going to pray us out. Then you guys will head to your next part of your schedule here. Hey, before I pray, make the most. I hate to be a downer, but this is our last full day, so enjoy it. Don't dread it. Don't be like, oh, this is our last day. Enjoy it. Enjoy your last day here. So let's pray. Let's pray our way out of here. God, thanks. God, thanks for the challenge for us to fix things. We've got this challenge if we have a busted relationship that we need to fix that. And we have this challenge to fix or to lock in our minds on the things that you think about, on the things that are not just for this earth, but these are things that are part of the kingdom of God. So help us do that. Again, we're not too young to start doing this, and we're not too young that we can't grasp these things. So even if we're going into fifth grade, we can still fix a relationship. If we're going into fifth grade, we can still fix our mind on things that are lovely and things that are right, things that are excellent, things that are worthy of praise. We have the ability to do that. So Jesus, would you focus our minds today? If you got to speak a tough thing to us on a relationship we need to fix, Jesus, would you speak that and give us the heart to be able to receive it and work on fixing it? Thanks for these opportunities to restore and to make things right. Thanks for our time here. Bless everybody's afternoon and our last full day here at camp. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, we'll see ya.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.